Looking forward to come back this morning to the book of Romans, that book in the New Testament that gives us the heartbeat of God about many things. And one of them is I think the book of Romans gives us the heartbeat of God about how He sees people and how we are as Christians to see the people around us in our lives. It is God's will that every person would be saved. I mean, the Bible is very clear about that. It says, "For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And if we acknowledge that that's the heart of God, and we know that God wants us to be involved, then we know that God gives us a individual and personal responsibility in the lives of the people around us. Every single one of us have people around us in that circle of influence that we have an opportunity to know and to have a relationship with and have a friendship with. It is God's will that every person would be saved, and it's also God's will that we carry that message to the people around us. One of the scriptures in Romans that are very important and very special: how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. That's not my words. That's not the words from a human spirit. It's from the heart of God. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And believing that every one of us have the potential and possibility of bringing good news to people around us in different ways, in different forms. But God wants to use you and God wants to use me in order to bring the gospel to the people in our lives. We've also been talking the last 4 weeks or so about Dr. Billy Graham. Probably all of you here today know who Dr. Billy Graham is. Billy Graham has been a great preacher for a long time, preaching across our country and in other places. You remember, it was about 9 months ago we had a missionary here from, no, it was in April, had a missionary here from Korea and told how in 1973 he was saved at the largest Billy Graham crusade in Billy Graham's life. 3 million people attended a service in Seoul, South Korea, and that missionary got saved when he was a young man at that service because of the preaching of Dr. Billy Graham. Well, Dr. Billy Graham will turn 95 years old in November if he lives to his 95th birthday, preaching the gospel his whole life. Dr. Billy Graham and the Billy Graham Association is planning one last effort in order for Dr. Graham to preach, Billy Graham to preach, and it to be recorded and then be put on television in November around his birthday. And Dr. Billy Graham has asked Christians all across the United States to be a part of inviting people to their homes on that evening. It's a Thursday night, or record it and show it a different night, but inviting Christians across our country to be involved in inviting people into their homes or somewhere where they can watch that 30-minute broadcast, where it's going to show some highlights about Dr. Graham's life and about his ministry, and then also a message about salvation, of how people can come to faith in Christ. Seeing people come to faith in Christ is the heartbeat of Billy Graham. And our church is challenged to be a part of that. I have challenged our church for the six-month period, starting in July, 2 months into it just about already, but challenging our people in our church who are Christians to have a heart for other people and ask how God can use them to be a witness and to build bridges of relationship and friendship in the lives of other people. And so I am thankful for all those that have said they would be a part of that. And our church is challenged to do that, to see people as God does, to intentionally make an effort to build bridges of friendship and care to people in our community, in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. Jesus said in the gospel we read a couple weeks ago, "Do you not say 4 months more and the harvest? But I tell you, even now, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Truly, there are people around you who need Jesus and need the love and care of someone who says, "You're important to God and you're important to me." And I want to, again, call you and challenge you to pray that God will show you how you can be a witness to people in your life, how you can be used of God. It would be different for every one of us. All of us are different. We have different ways and opportunities to show care for people, but however God gifted you and uniquely who you are, if you're a Christian, you're a believer, I ask you to pray that God will show you how you can build a bridge of relationship. Four words come to my mind as I think about this special time for our church and our country. The first one is the importance of opportunity, that we make the most of these days. Make the most of these opportunities. I don't know about tomorrow. Don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know that God gives us today. Make the most of an opportunity to be a friend to someone, to show care to someone. Maybe someone that doesn't have a whole lot of friends or relationship, or maybe somebody that's very busy, but to reach out and show that you care about them. Make the most of every opportunity. That's what Jesus did. He took every opportunity he had in order to show love and care for someone. How important it is that we look for opportunities and say, God, pray, God, help me to take the opportunity. Help me to know there's an opportunity and show love and care for someone. Having a heart of compassion. Jesus had a heart of compassion for everybody he saw. Everybody that came in front of Jesus, he reached out and showed care for them. And that's what God wants us to have in our church, compassion for people. He wants us to see people as he does, see people with love and patience and kindness, and knowing that without a heart of compassion, we can't be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And then also pray that God will give you the right time, the right timing, give you the right priority, that you can take the time to show someone that they're important to God and to you. All these things we've got to pray about. We've got to pray that God will make this possible in our lives. Without praying and seeking God's heart and God's Spirit, it would just simply be the efforts of people. The efforts of Billy Graham, the efforts of myself and you and other people. But if we pray and seek the heart of God, God can open the doors. I'm excited to know what's going to happen in this community when God's people care about others. They show compassion, they take the time, and they speak the truth in love. The fourth thing that I want to mention this morning, I'm going to be mentioning them several times over the next few months, is the importance of speaking the truth in love in people's lives. Speaking truth in love. People need God's truth. They don't need just friendship. They need that. They need care. They need compassion. But they need God's truth. And they need it spoken in love. When we speak truth, but we don't speak it in love, it sounds pretty hollow. But when we love people and care for them and demonstrate that, then they become receptive to God's Word. It's our job to be the feet that bring good news. It's our job to love people, and it's God's job to change their hearts. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you to pray that God will give you opportunity, that God will give you compassion, that God will give you time, and that you will speak the truth in love to the people around you. I encourage you to pray that God will show you what He wants you to do. Thank you. 2 weeks ago when I handed out those cards, over 100 people responded that they would be praying and they would be willing. We called it to be a Matthew. Open your heart and your life, especially in the months ahead, to show care and love for people especially. And ask God to show you who it is that you can reach out to and show care and love to. Jesus told us in the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples, and baptize and teach them in my name. God calls the church to be about discipling people and loving them and helping them in their journey. I also want to mention today that today, after this service, we have something kind of unique to do at this time, and we have a baptism service following this service. We did have a baptism service about 5 weeks ago, but three of the people could not be baptized because the first date we got rained out, and then we rescheduled, baptized some people, but we have a couple more that want to be baptized that weren't available, so we're going to do that today. After this service, at Tom and Terry Duke's house on Green Ridge Road. You guys know where Green Ridge Market is? Well, that's Green Ridge Road right behind it, and they live about a half a mile that way on Green Ridge Road. On the left, mailbox 2565. I'd love to have a lot of people just come for that baptism. It's going to be about 12:15. Some of you, I'm sure, are able to, and some are not able to, but we're going to celebrate with two teens, Dylan Zuckman and Josh Duke. Josh could not be there when we baptized his mother last time, And he really wanted to be baptized, and so we set this up especially for Josh. And Dylan Zechman also wants to be baptized today. I had them both come up in the first service, and they shared a little bit why they wanted to be baptized. And it was exciting to hear two shy teenagers say why they wanted to be baptized. They both have decided that they want to walk with Jesus, and that's just fantastic. We celebrate with them, and we're excited with them. I shared with them two verses, and I'll share with you as well about the importance of baptism. There's so many things to say about why baptism is important in the body of Christ and in our church and in our fellowship. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Baptism is the reminder. Baptism is the forerunner of the decision that we make every day to clothe ourselves with Christ, with Jesus, to say, "I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Him in every way." And when you're baptized, you make that promise to God, "I want to be like Jesus." And I challenge those two teens that were here this morning to remember that today's a day that you're making that promise, "I'm going to be like Jesus." And that's also a reminder to you. If you've been baptized, you're already a Christian, and you've been baptized, let today this be a reminder to you of putting on Jesus every day, how important it is that we be clothed with Christ. And then the second verse from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, "And this water symbolizes the pledge of a good conscience toward God." Baptism is also saying, "I want to have a conscience clear before God. I want to respond to God. And if God puts His finger on me about an attitude or about a habit or about anything that is not pleasing to a holy God, I'm going to say, 'God, show me what it is and I'll change.'" And that's what it means to have a heart that's tender before God. So I challenge our two teens this morning to have a good conscience toward God and let baptism be that beginning point their journey in that relationship with God. Hope you can join us if you're able to right after this service. I'd like to turn our attention this morning to the source of a growing faith. And I want to talk to you today, if you're a Christian this morning, about a growing faith and how important it is that you move on from wherever you're at. Whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or you've been a Christian for 10 years or you've just recently come to faith in Christ, I want to tell you how important it is that you have a growing faith and that your relationship with God is not stagnant. It doesn't stay where it is. You know, I look out over the congregations that I've served and you know, there's just sometimes you see people that are hungry all the time for God, and they're learning, and they're listening, and they're humble, and God uses them in mighty ways. And there's other people that, bless their hearts, they listen to me preach week after week, month after month, year after year, and I wonder, I must bore them to death because I've never seen a bit of change in them. Sometimes I wonder what it is. But I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you in the morning to know that God wants you to have a growing faith. God is not pleased with Christians who do not want to grow in their faith. God is not pleased with people that say, "Well, I've already got everything I need and I really don't need anything else." That's not a growing Christian. It's not much of a Christian at all. Actually, it's pretty shallow Christianity. And we have plenty of that in our world. We have plenty of shallow Christians around us. I want to say this morning that it's important that you have a growing faith that keeps on, that keeps alive and keeps growing. We know from the book of Hebrews, we read a few weeks ago, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must make the decision of faith. And you must make the decision to grow in your faith. If you decide that it's not important what you do from that point on, then your faith will be very weak and it may be broken. But God wants you to have a faith that's hungry for Him and growing for Him. And this morning I want to talk about how it is that you can have a faith that keeps on growing. What's a key to staying close to God? What's a key to sensing God's Spirit in your life and His presence in your life? Well, we've been in the book of Romans, and this morning I want to read one verse as a text from Romans chapter 10. It says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, if you want to read it in your Bible, this is from the King James Version. It says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Let me just read that again. "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith will grow when God's Word is real and alive in your heart. Your faith will grow when God's Word is real and alive in your heart. There is something about the power and the strength of the Bible, of God's Word, that is supernatural. It is beyond what we have in human terms of life. Somehow, God can take His Word, the Scriptures, and He can make it into something that makes you grow. That might sound really strange to you, but think about life. Think about growing organisms. Think about you. Think about me. Think about people. What happens if we stop eating every day? Well, we get weak. We get grumpy. We lose weight. And if we don't eat in enough time, what will happen to us? We'll die. That's what happens when we don't grow. That's what happens when we don't have food. It's no different spiritually. It's really no different. God created in physical life a mirror to spiritual life in many ways. One of them is in our concept, our understanding of what it means to be a growing Christian. If we do not take in the food that God gives us spiritually, we will be just like we would be physically if we don't eat food. We would shrivel up and die. That's a reality of life. Don't think it's true physically, but not spiritually. It's absolutely true. This verse says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith will shrivel up and die if you do not have God's Word coming into your spirit, coming into your mind, coming into your heart, coming into your being. If you don't have that, and you have other stuff instead, that part of you that's faith in God will shrivel up and die. It will not be existent. It's the same with plant life. You know, this year has been a great growing year for, I think, most people around us. I've certainly heard the gardeners and the farmers. The corn beside my house, man, I've never seen corn as high as it is this year. I never have. Maybe it has been, but I've never seen corn as high as it is in the field beside my house as this year. I can walk up that corn. It is twice as tall as me, at least. Maybe more. And I think that's amazing. There's been the right combination of the soil and the water and the sun for the corn this year. I mean, there's just been the right time that it rained and the right time for the sun. And so it's really beautiful. And the corn's good, too. I had some of that when I came home from camp on Friday. Boy, was it good. You know, it was just right. Without the nutrients in the soil, that corn won't grow. If I put a seed right here on this table, it's not going to grow. I don't think there's much dust on there anyway. Without the right amount of water. And you know, with corn, not every year we get the right amount. If you don't have the right amount, then it won't be as strong. You know, sometimes I think that the body of Christ and the church is kind of like the corn. You know, there's sometimes I look out over the church and, boy, I see some 12-foot-high corn people, corny people, you know. They just look like they've got it. They've had the right nutrients. You know what else about those kind of people is the ears of corn are really good. The fruit is there. The harvest is there. And then you have this corn. It's only like 2.5 feet tall. Might even have a tassel come up. There's not much corn on it. There might be a little cob, you know. It goes better in a Chinese walk than it does on your plate, you know. You know what I mean? That's the way it is spiritually. Do you want to be like this, or do you want to be like that? Whether or not you embrace God's Word in your heart will determine whether you're like this or you're like that spiritually. God's Word is key to your growth as a Christian. It's key to a faith that's real. It's key to fruitfulness. It's key to being what God wants you to be. There's something about the power of God's Word and the strength of the Bible that's very important to a growing faith. See, a growing faith is fed by the Word of God, the truth of God. I don't mean a physical book or the Scriptures on an iPhone. I don't mean the physical Bible. I'm talking about His Word inside of you. Listening to what God says and saying, God, tell me what it means for me. Having a heart and a spirit that's humbled. A growing faith is fed by the Word of God. Something unseen is at work. within your spirit when it's connected to God's Word that grows you in ways that you really can't see or understand, but somehow it does something about your beliefs. It does something about your priorities. It does something about your attitude. It does something about your concept of authority. It does something about that feeling of sin and being separated from God. It does something about relationships and patience and loving people and caring for them. You know, without God's Word, it's like all those areas, they just kind of start to shrivel up in a person so that pretty soon they're not bearing any fruit. Their corn's at this high and the cobs are this big and they're bitter anyway. If you want to be a person that really does reach the people in your circle of influence, be a person that is taking in God's Word in your heart and your spirit and saying, God, I cry out for You for what You want to say to me. What do You have to say to me? A growing faith is fed by God's Word, and a growing faith must hear God's Word deep within the heart. Deep within the heart. I'm not talking about an audible reading God's Word. You know, open your Bible, reading four verses, and saying, I got it. We're there. No, I'm talking about having God's Word in you and with you so that when you read it, you're saying, God, I'm humbled by Your Spirit and Your voice. Speak to me about this parable. Tell me what You want for my life today. Tell me what You want me to do or change or how You want me to pray or who You want me to care about or what You want me to change in my life. I'm not talking today about worshiping the Bible, but about hungering and embracing God's truth. How hungry are you for God's truth? Thy Word, the psalmist writes, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Imagine the psalmist writing that. I don't know what time of the day he wrote that, whether it was in the evening he needed a candle or what, but imagine Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I imagine that psalmist wrote that sometime in the evening, perhaps, or maybe even the darkness of night, and maybe he had to get up out of his tent and go somewhere, and he tried to do it in the dark, and he stumbled around, and, you know, as they say, you know what toes are for? Finding furniture, you know, in the dark. You know, I don't know about the psalmist, but I just imagine that one night he was out there and he realized the difference when he went out without his candle and when he took his candle with him, what a difference it made in his life, what a difference God makes in your life when you have His Word in your heart and you're hungry for that. Hungry for that. I'm talking this morning about being hungry for God. God, I want to hear Your Word. I want to hear Your truth. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus said it so clearly. He said, if you really want to be close and you want to bear fruit, you got to stay with me, in me, listen to me, close to me. See, that's what God wants from you. He wants that friendship. Friendship with God. That seems like such an anthropomorphic thing to say. How can we be friends with an eternal, infinite God? Well, the truth is, the eternal, infinite God sent His Son to us so we could see Him and hear Him and understand Him and know Him. He wants that kind of connection and relationship to Him. If you want a growing faith, listen to God's Word. Let me just ask you this morning, rhetorically, what role does the Bible have in your life? What role does God's Word have in your life right now? How important is it to you? What role does God's Word have in your life? I want to say to you that God wants it to have the role of true life in you, life-giving truth. Are you reading God's Word every day? Are you finding it helpful to a growing faith? Is your faith growing? Is the strength of your ability to discern God's voice and to do what's right and to handle life, is it getting stronger or is it getting weaker? God wants to help you with life. He gives you His Word not to constrict you, not to make it so it's harder for you. He gives you the Word so that it helps you to live well, helps you to understand things that are true. I want to encourage you to give full respect and honor to God's Word. I read this past week that the average American home has 3.6 Bibles. The average American home has 3.6 Bibles. I also read that 92% of Americans claim to own a Bible. 92% of Americans. But you know that just a small fraction of Americans read their Bibles every day. I don't know exactly how many, but it's a pretty small number of Americans who read their Bible every day. Boy, put that in contrast to some of the countries around our world where they don't have religious freedom. Like China, places that we've heard about and read about, Muslim countries, Chad and the Sudan, and some of the places that we read of the persecution and how they don't have Bibles because they've been confiscated and burned, and sometimes if they're found in the hand of someone, they cut the hand off. How much they treasure God's Word in those places. How they risk their lives just to be able to read the Bible. We have it around us, and sometimes we kind of forget what a great privilege it is to have God's Word. While I'm thinking about it, it wasn't part of my sermon, but while we're thinking about it, we ought to pray about Egypt, the Christians that are being killed there today, probably right now in Egypt during this time. If you're serious about your faith, and you've got to be serious about God's Word as a source in your life and strength for you. So, what are you doing with your Bible? Where is it? By the way, if anybody needs a Bible, we keep some here and we'd love to give you one. Some people don't have one and we want you to have one and love to give you one. So if you need one, let me know or Rachel know and let us know in the office and we want you to have a Bible. Maybe if you don't have one or yours got lost or something, we want you to have God's Word. All right, now I'm going to do a little test. You probably think I'm going to try to embarrass you and I'm not. I'd like you all to close your eyes. If you would humor me for a minute, close your eyes. And hold up your Bible. Thank you. Okay, put it down. I'm really not going to embarrass you. I just want to make a point. Sometimes I think we tend to forget how precious the Bible is to us. What do you do with your Bible? Where's it at? Is your Bible missing? Is it dusty? Is it lonely? You know, the Bible comes in different forms now. You can have the old-fashioned kind, you know, like mine. I can beat somebody over the head with that one. You know, I wouldn't, but I could. Or you can have it on your iPhone, or you could put it on a tablet. And I don't care a bit what the form of God's, what form you use in your life. But the question is it the source of your faith, and is it making a difference in your life? That's what God wants it to be. You see, there's so many things out there that would rob us of the joy and the knowledge of God's Word. In fact, there's some sarcastic voices out there about God's Word. And God's Word's under attack. It is in our education system. God's authority is under attack. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there would say, oh, it's no big deal. Watch this video. It's 1 minute long. And maybe it's the difference between a deep and a shallow Christian. Now, watch this video.
Reading the Bible is a great way to learn about God and how we should live our lives. Unfortunately, many Christians don't understand the importance of reading the Bible. They think it's more important than it is. You see, while the Bible is a great source of information, God doesn't really care if we read it or not. If He had wanted us to know the truths contained inside the Bible, He would have put them in an entertaining TV show instead of a really thick book. Many Christians think that you should read the Bible regularly if you intend on living the Christian life. But they are completely wrong. In fact, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to read the Bible. So read it if you want to, but don't feel obligated to, because you can live a perfectly Christian life without reading the Bible. These have been Deep Thoughts from a Shallow Christian.
Deep Thoughts from a Shallow Christian. We don't want to be a shallow Christian. We don't want to be a shallow Christian. We want to be corn that's 14 feet high, right? I want to encourage you to know how important God's Word is in your life and your heart. If you really want to be a deep Christian, know how important the Bible is. Is it more important than your cell phone? Maybe I should say if you're under 20 or 25, is it more important than your cell phone? If you're over 25, then I don't know what it might be. Maybe, I don't know, maybe your TV, maybe your sports, maybe hunting. Oops. Oh, be careful. What about shopping? What about whatever? Relationships. how important is God's Word in your heart and mind. Some scriptures, Psalm 119 says, "Your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." See, God's Word is not just about our generation. And it's been there a long time, and it will forever be there. You know, someday this book will fall apart, and probably it'll get, you know, the backing will come off, and slowly pages will come out, or who knows what will happen to it. Maybe it'll end up being discarded somewhere, thrown in a fire somewhere. But I promise you, the Word of the Lord will stand forever. It will never change. I love this scripture in Isaiah chapter 40. "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God stands forever." God's Word is forever. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed." Think about that. The whole of the Bible is God-breathed. God breathes His truth into the Word. And it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting in righteousness and training. And then Hebrews chapter 4 describes it, "The Word of the Lord is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is living and active. It's able to penetrate the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." See, that's the power of God's Word. It's able to go places that human logic and rationalization and psychology and knowledge cannot go. The Word of the Lord can go deep into who we are, and it can penetrate our attitude and our thoughts and our problems and our needs. It goes deeper than the surface. God's Word can do that. And so we're to hold that and embrace that and to love that. And then the full armor of God in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes, "Put on the full armor of God." You realize that in that picture that we're given in the book of Ephesians, the Roman soldier and all the pieces of his armor that he wore into battle, you know, there was only one offensive weapon that the soldier had, and that's his sword. The sword of the Lord, the Word of God. If you don't have your sword, and it's not a part of who you are and what you are, how in the world do you think you're going to survive in spiritual warfare when you have the enemy and human logic and the traditions of this world and entertainment that's ungodly and dealing with stuff and problems and sin? How are you going to survive and be a Christian if you don't even have a weapon? You don't even have a weapon. God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6, the sword of the Lord, the Word of the Spirit. God wants you to have His full armor. Three things I'd like to leave you with today about God's Word. Three things about to encourage you about God's Word is, number one, I would encourage you to have a daily time to read the Bible. Whether it's in the morning, it's on a lunch break, it's after school, in the evening, I don't care when, everybody's different, but I would encourage you to make a promise to God. God, show me what time of the day can be my time with You, and make it a daily time. I think if you do that, sometimes it might seem a little bit contrived, and someday you might not feel like it, but I promise you, if you do it with an attitude that says, "I'm hungry for God and I want to hear what God says," whether you have 2 minutes or you have 20 minutes or you have an hour. I mean, everybody's different. Some people need more time. Some people do better with a little bit of time and listening for a while. But I want to encourage you to make it a daily time. If you're a Christian and you want to live the Christian life, give God an opportunity to speak to your heart every day, daily time. Also, I encourage you to look at it as a relational time. This isn't God standing up there with a checkbook, a notebook like the football coach saying, "Okay, I want to know whether John Becker read his Bible today. He did it. Okay, he's fine. Heather Hibbs, yeah, you're sowing today." You know, that's not what God wants. What God wants to do is speak to us and say, "I love You. Let me give You my heart today. Let me show You some truth." Read the parable of Jesus and hear what He says to you in it. Read the law of the Old Testament to hear why God was so concerned about the holiness of His people. Read the prophets and the sternness of what they said and reported about the heart of God to a people that turned their back on Him. Read the words of the Apostle Paul and his wisdom and counsel in the early church. The Bible is full of good things for us. If we see it that way and we read it that way and we hunger for that, it's relationship that God wants with you. It's not a checklist that you did it or you didn't do it. God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants to show you that He loves you so much. Relational. And then the third thing to say about your time with God is, I encourage you to make it a quiet time. What I mean by that is, when you read the Word of God, don't read it like some of us have a tendency to do, like this: "Brothers, my heart's iron prayer of God, desires that I be saved." That was it. I did it. When you read God's Word, take time to listen. And whether that means you just read one verse and you take time to listen, that's what I encourage you to do. Quietness.
When you read the Bible, it becomes meat to your life. Like, it's better than having a steak dinner. That is what it means something to you.
Yes, yes. Amen, John. You hear John? He says, when you read God's Word and it really connects, it's better than meat. It's better than a steak dinner. Is you feel something spiritually inside that you may never experience another time. God's Word is so good. There's so many scriptures and verses about the power of God's Word. I want to encourage you, make God's Word a part of your daily time. Understand it's a relationship with God, and be still and know that I am God. I love that that song that we sing sometimes, "Be still and know that I am God." When you're quiet before God's Word, God can speak to your heart, and pray that God would speak to you. I want to invite you to stand and look again at that verse. And we're going to sing again that verse. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Just sing that chorus with me. You probably know it. If not, we'll sing it through a couple of times. And then I want to pray this morning. Would you sing that with me? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Word would be real and alive and sharp and living, and that, God, we would love it and respect it and honor it and be careful about it. Lord God, whether that's a physical book that we hold in our hands or on a cell phone or some other means that might be out there, God, help us to treasure the heart of God. Help us to faithfully read it and listen to it and be humbled by it and be challenged by it and be changed by it, I pray. Thank You for Your Word. Help it to be, Lord, a great source of growth in our lives and a witness to others of the authority of God in our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. See you at the Duke's about 12:15, if you're able to be there.